We're continuing our reading in Kabir Saab's epic poem, the Anurag Sagar, or the Ocean of Love. Actually, there are various ways of understanding the structure of the poem. Sometimes I think that the section we read last week is indeed the climax of the poem with Dharam Das. In terms of the dialogue between Kabir and Dharam Das, when Dharam Das at last understands the true nature of his relationship to his master, when his master has explained to him how he came for him 5 different times, and each time he was rejected. Dharam Das rejected him, and finally, after having been trapped by Kal, even after reaching Sachkhand, he came again, and Dharam Das had some understanding of the true nature of what is meant by love, the master's love for us, and what we call the love of God. Of course, we saw that Dharam Das does indeed represent all of us, that his name even, which means the slave of law, is a reference to the condition of humanity under the reign of Kal, who is also called Dharam Rai, or the king of law, and that just as the master came for him individually, time after time, and did not rest until he had awakened him, in the same way, each of us, this can be said of, the master has come time and again to take back each one of us, as well as everyone else who is alive in the whole universe. Actually, as far as I can understand it, this is the point at which Dharam Das, in that particular incarnation, is actually given initiation. It may be that he was given a further awakening at that point, but I think that that section that we finished up on last week refers to his initiation. Now, Kabir gives him some additional teachings. Kabir said, "Listen, Dharam Das, I have unveiled the secret of the truth. I have given you the drink of Nam, and have finished all the snares of Kal for you. Now listen to the ways of living, without knowing which man goes astray. Always do devotion wholeheartedly, and giving up the ego, serve the sadhus. First of all, give up the limitations of the family, and then become a fearless devotee." Of course, as the context of the poem makes very clear, giving up the limitations of the family does not mean to stop loving the family. There may be many who would like to take it that way, but it means not to be limited by the family in the very strict sense that we are not identified by virtue of who we're related to. We are each individual souls, and we must relate to God in our own right. Giving up all other practices, do seva, as the seva of the master is the worship of the master. The soul who thinks itself clever and tries to deceive the master is deluded in the world. So never hide anything from the master. Those who hide things from him remain in the world. Always keep the words of the master in your heart, and never let maya and attachment dampen you. By living this way, one does not return to this world, and always keeps his heart at the lotus feet of the master. Him. Listen, Dharam Das, be firm in the Nam, the only refuge. This world is very complicated because Kal has laid his traps. O Dharam Das, by the glory of Sat Purusha's Nam, one understands these things. All the men and women in a family take Nam, then the great negative power doesn't remain. There is that family in which all, or even many, members are initiated, have a very special advantage, although it still remains true that each individual is connected in his own right. Couplet. Quickly go and call all the souls who are in your home. Firmly focus your attention on the beloved so that Kal may not deceive you again. Dharam Das said, "O Lord, you are the origin of all souls. You have finished all my pain. Narayan is my son. To him also give the wealth of Shabda." Hearing this, the Satguru smiled, but didn't express his feelings. And here we enter into, it's not really a separate section of the poem, but what I call the story of Das Narayan, because the next few passages center around the problem of Dharam Das's son Narayan, who does not want to be initiated, and not because he's not interested, but because he is actively opposed. We will see how this works out. Kabir said, "Dharam Das, quickly call those whose end you wish to be glorious." Then Dharam Das called everybody. "Come, bow your heads at the feet of the husband. Brothers, come and touch the feet of the competent one. In that way you will not be born into the world again. Hearing this, many souls came and embraced the Satguru's feet. One didn't come, Das Narayan. All others came to the feet of the master. Dharam Das thought, why didn't my wise son come? Das Narayan means literally servant of God. Narayan is a term for God, although, like Hari, it originally referred to the negative power. It can be used in either context. Narayan's contempt for Kabir. Dharam Das said to his servants, where did my son, Narayan Das, go? Somebody go and search for him so that he too may come to the master. Oh, Rup Das, have faith in the master and look for him. He might be reading the Gita. Quickly go and tell him that he is called and that Dharam Das has got a competent master. Hearing this, the messenger quickly went to the place where Narayan Das was. The messenger said to Narayan Das, come quickly, don't delay. Dharam Das has called you. Narayan Das said, I will not go to my father. He is old and his intellect is destroyed. Who else is a creator like Hari? And here Hari is used very definitely for Kal, whom Narayan Das has, like Brahma on the cosmic level in an earlier part of the poem, has become completely convinced that he is the total creator and there is no god above him. Why should I leave him and worship somebody else? He has become senile, so he likes the weaver. Dijulaha, in that is all the connotation, the word contempt, which was used above for Narayan's feelings for Kabir, all of that are wrapped up in this phrase. He has become senile, so he likes the Julaha, the Muslim low-caste nothing, who is coming along and pretending to be somebody. But in my mind, I have Vishnu as my master. Narayan Das's attitude is not only understood as the preference of the negative for the positive, but also the preference of the established and the old for the untried and the new. It reminds me very much of those passages in the Gospels. You know, can anything good come out of Galilee? What is this? And also, we have Moses. For you, you don't know who you worship, but we have Moses for our master. Phrases like that are very similar. I have Vishnu as my master. What can I say? I can't say anything, as my father has become mad. The messenger came back to Dharam Das. After saying that Narayan Das wouldn't come, he kept quiet. Hearing this, Dharam Das started walking and came to where his son was sitting. Dharam Das said to Narayan Das, him, O son, come, let's go home where the Satpurush Lord has come. Make the request and touch his feet, so that all your karmas may be wound up. I have come to tell you, come and accept the Satguru and quickly give up your ego. This opportunity will not come again, so leave your stubbornness, O mad one. Couplet. I have cut the bonds of Yama by getting the perfect Satguru. Arise, my son, and come quickly, so that you won't have to take birth again. Narayan Das said, Father, you have gone crazy. In the third stage of your life, you have taken a living master. There is no other god equal to the name of Ram, whom the rishis and munis also serve. You have left Guru Vishnu, and in your old age you have taken up the living master. Dharam Das said, taking him by the arm, he lifted him up and brought him before the Satguru. O child, touch the feet of the Satguru, who is the liberator from the bonds of Yama. The pain of coming in the womb again does not come to the soul who gets the refuge in Nam. He leaves the world and goes to Satlok, where the Nam of the Guru helps him. Then Narayan Das turned his face and said, The Low One has come into our house. From where did this living thug come who has driven my father crazy? Condemning the Vedas and Shastras, he speaks of his own glory. As long as this living thug remains with you, I give up the shelter of this house. Hearing this, Dharam Das became upset and didn't know what his son might do. Then Amin, his wife, counseled him in many ways, but he did not take even one thing into his heart. Then Dharam Das came to the master and made this request. O Lord, tell me the reason why my son has doubts. The Satguru smiled and said, Dharam Das, I told you this earlier also, again I am telling you. Listen attentively and don't be surprised. My Satpurusha's orders came, and this is a recapitulation of an earlier section, at the beginning of the Kali Yuga when Kabir is coming into the world for the fourth time. When Satpurusha's orders came, O Gyani, and remember Gyani, which means knower, is another term we may say for the essence of Kabir, in other words, for that which became Kabir in this incarnation. O Gyani, quickly go into the world, because Kala is giving pain to the souls. Hurry and go cut the bonds of Yama. Immediately, Gyani, and Kabir is speaking of himself in the third person here, which masters often do in this kind of context. Immediately, Gyani bowed his head and went to the unjust Dharamrai. When Dharamrai saw Gyani, his form swelled with anger. Dharamrai said, I have got this place by doing service. So why did you come into the ocean of the world, the Bhuv Sagar? In other words, why did you leave your own place, the Anurag Sagar? Why are you here? Oh, Gyani, you don't know about me. I will kill you. The Gyani said, listen, unjust one, I will not be frightened by you. If you will speak egoistic words, very soon I will kill you. In other words, if Kal is going beyond his, he has got that place by doing service, and the world is his. But if he's going to start threatening the messengers of his father, then he's going to lose that. Then Narinjan made this request. You are going into the world to liberate the souls. When all the souls have gone to Satlok, how will my hunger be satisfied? Daily I have to eat 1 lakh jivas and restore 1 lakh and a quarter. This is, of course, a reference to the very early part of the poem, when Kal decided that he would eat, or it came about, for his own sustenance, he would have to feed on the consciousness, in other words, of the individuals who were in the lower worlds. But Satpurush decreed that for every 100,000, which is 1 lakh, that he ate, 125,000 would come forth. In other words, that in the so-called destruction of consciousness, he would actually create more consciousness. In one sense, his purpose is thwarted. As Satpurush has given me this plane, in the same way, O Gyani, you also give me something. You will go into the world and bring the souls and free them from the trap of Kal. In the first 3 ages, few souls went, but in the Kali Yuga you will work hard. Now you will establish your path and send the souls to Satlok. After saying this, Narinjan continued, but I don't have any force over you. If any other brother had come, I would have smashed and eaten him at once. If I say anything to you, you will not obey it, and you will go into the world. I will do something there so that nobody will believe in your Shabda. There I will create such karmas and illusions that nobody will find the way out. In every single home, I will create the ghost of illusion, and deceiving the souls, I will make them forget. All humans will eat flesh and drink wine, and all kinds of flesh will be the favorites. Oh, brother, your devotion is difficult. Nobody will believe it, I'm telling you. That is why I say, don't go into the world now. Kabir said, at that time I told Kal, I know your deceptions and tricks. Him. Making the souls firm in the true Shabda, I will enable them to remove your illusions. I will make them recognize all your tricks, and by the strength of Nam, I will liberate the souls. Those who remember me in thought, word, and deed, focusing their attention on the elementless, such souls will go to the immortal world, putting their feet on your head. Couplet. Any brave and wise soul will finish your ego, and very happily, that soul will be convinced of the true Shabda. Hearing this, Kal felt defeated and started to think of deceptions. Dharamrai said, O happiness giver, essence, explain this thing to me. What will be your name in this age? Speak that name aloud for me. Kabir said, in the Kali Yuga my name will be Kabir, and by saying Kabir, Yama will not come near the soul. Hearing this, the unjust one said, listen, Kabir, I am telling you. In your name I will maintain the path, and in this way I will deceive the souls. I will make 12 paths, and in your name I will preach at them. My essence, Mirtu Anda, will be incarnated in the home of Sukrit. Sukrit, of course, was Dharamdas's name before he became Dharamdas. Mirtu Anda, that is the essence of Kal, will go in your home and will bear the name Narayan. First my essence will go, and then, brother, yours will go. In other words, his essence will find Dharamdas before he does. Accept at least this request which I am making, again and again having faith in you. Kabir said to Dharamdas, then I told him, listen, Dharamrai, For the sake of souls, you have laid your traps. I gave him that promise and then came to the world. So the Mrityu Anda has come into your home, bearing the name of Narayan. Narayan is the essence of Kaal. And for the souls, Kaal has laid this trap. Him. In my name, he will brighten the path and deceive the souls. The souls who do not know his secret will go to hell. Just as the hunter plays the music to attract the deer, and hearing the music, the deer comes near and the hunter hits him. Couplet. In the same way, Yama has set up this trap, but those who are supposed to wake up will do so. Those who will get the word from my essence will get to Satlok. And then he goes on to describe the 12 paths, which we will at least begin today. Most of the events that happen in the poem, the actual events described, have meaning on a lot of different levels. They are not only events of a specific thing that happened at a specific time in history, but they are parables of a principle that keeps recurring. And it is a fact, and all the masters have mentioned it, that in the very highest places, in those places which in the physical world are the closest to the masters, is often to be found those who work most strongly against them. This principle is not just confined to the masters of Sant Mat since the time of Kabir, but is a universal truth which has been found throughout spiritual history. Judas, after all, was one of the 12. He was one of the inner circle and was, you know, a very close disciple of Christ. In the life of St. Francis of Assisi, he was betrayed and insulted on his deathbed by one of the disciples to whom he had shown great favor. Very often it does happen, as we know from the lives of the masters also, that the essence of Kaal can be born into the very family of the guru. And Dharam Das is going to be Kabir's successor. So he's going to be one of the next masters, because Kabir had many successors at once, but Dharam Das is one of them. And here Narayan Das is his own son. He is born into his family. And in a society which has a royal tradition of monarchy, of the power descending through the physical children, then this is a very big thing. People think in these terms. If he is his son, he must be like him. So it's a very paradoxical situation. When Master Kripal Singh used to say, I think he was quoting Baba Saman Singh, but Santi has also quoted this many times, that the people who live near the master are like the leeches who suck the blood from the cow's udder, but the people who come from afar are like the calves who come from a distant pasture and drink his milk. It does not mean that every disciple who lives near the master and spends a lot of time with him is a leech, but the principle is laid down that this may often be this way and that we cannot judge by this kind of appearance. And so it is that down through history, the children of the masters have often caused a great deal of trouble and difficulty to those to whom the true power has been passed, in one way or another. Now later on in this poem, there's a very interesting section toward the end in which Kabir goes into great detail about the difference between the nad and the bind. These are two concepts which are often united in Indian thought. There is an Upanishad called the Nad Bind Upanishad. Nad means the sound current, which is the seed of the universe, so to speak, that from which everything else proceeded. And bind means seed, and it refers to seed in the physical sense. Sperm can be called bind, for example, or plant seeds can be called bind. There is a difference between a Nadi son and a Bindi son. That is, the son who is born to the master from the sound current, and the son who is born from his physical seed. Although they may be united. There's a very interesting section in a very short time, which we'll probably get to next week, in which Dharam Das has another son, sort of, called Chudamani, who becomes a true saint, sort of to make up for Narayan Das. But Chudamani is both a Nadi son, and actually he's not a Bindi son at all, because he's born, his birth is virgin, as is described. So this next section is called The Description of the 12 Paths. Dharam Das said, O Lord, tell me about the 12 paths which you lost to Kaal. One more point that's very important to remember when we're dealing with things. Why should the master have to put up with this? Why does the negative power have to incarnate in his own home? What is this stuff? You know, doesn't he have any power? Why should disciples be harassed by Kaal and all this stuff? For this, we have to think back to the first parts of the poem, the long description of the creation of the universe, the fall, the way in which Kal fell and carried with him the whole lower universe. And remember that he was given the lower worlds before the fall, that when he fell, they fell with him. He is absolutely right when he says to Kabir that I have been given this place because of my seva, my service, and it belongs to me. And in a very real sense, the masters are here working with his permission. And although it's true that they are here under the orders of the Almighty Father, who is also Kal's superior, although he has rebelled against him, they are in a very real sense, they are his guests, and they are limited. Although he can't prevent them from doing that which is the Father's prerogative, that is, bringing back the souls and connecting them with him, he has the right, because it's his place, to do anything he wants to make that harder. And he does, because Master Kripal has explained somewhere that whenever a soul passes through and out of the causal plane and goes into Dasvandwar, which is beyond Kal's reach, he beats his head and says, oh, my lord, another man is gone, like that. And that is a very important thing to him, to keep his world intact. And therefore he will do everything from masquerading as a great holy force and incarnating as holy men, so-called, down to what we would call downright evil. But as long as it is his, and was given him by God, it is not entirely evil, and there is a sense, as we said in the beginning, in which Kal is very just. The masters will sometimes speak of him in this way, and sometimes in the way in which he is spoken of in this poem. But that is why, after all, we have to pay homage to Kal only from the point of view of being a guest in his house, you may say. Even those of us who are initiated, when we do our mantra, the first two names, after all, refer to aspects of Kal. It is only from the third name upward that we are in the region of the positive power. And this is because we don't get anywhere by hitting him in the face. We are compelled to recognize him, and he is also a part of the Father, and will also be saved one day. Even references to hell, as we've often said, cannot be understood as eternal. So, Dharamdas says, these 12 paths, O Satguru, tell me about the custom for each path so that I may know. I am ignorant and know nothing. You are the Lord, Satpurush. Have mercy on me, the servant. Saying this, Dharamdas got up and touched both the feet. Kabir said, Dharamdas, understand this message. I will clear up all your illusions. I will tell you the names of the 12 paths and will make you know their secrets. Dharamdas, I will say aloud their customs and secrets. I will finish the deception of your heart and will remove all the doubts of your mind. Now the names of these paths are useless to us. Each one is called by the name of a dut, spelled D-O-O-T in English. Of course, that's only the English letters. The word means messenger. Each of the 12 paths is called by the name of one dut or another. And what they are is they are variations. They are not all explained very fully. Later on, there is a section in which Kal, or Kabir rather, explains four paths, which are explained in much greater detail, and I am not certain of the relationship of the 12 to the four. But basically, these are variations on this theme, that one truth that the masters tell is taken and is emphasized to the exclusion of the others so that the basic truth is distorted and the person is misled, and the whole thing can be done in the name of the master. And this is the point. The point Kabir is saying here, that all of this will be presented in his name. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that in the Surangama Sutra, there's a very similar section to this in which the Buddha talks about the same sort of thing happening in the Kali Yuga, that his teachings will be perverted in his own name. The path of Mrityuanda Dut, that of course is Narayan. And nothing really is explained about what he's going to do. It just says, listen to the description of the first path, Dharamdas. In your mind, be ready to discriminate. Mrityuanda is one boundless messenger who has been incarnated in your home. You will be very painful for the souls. Again and again, I am cautioning you. I think that the discriminating factor here, the distinguishing factor of this so-called path, path may not be the best way to translate exactly the term, but it's the best that we could find, is that if we assume that someone is a master because he is born in a saint's home, then this is perhaps the mistake in itself. There's nothing else that is explained there, unless it's also possible that because we already know something of Narayan's ideas. That is the idea of the establishment versus the contemptuous Julaha idea. Who is the living thug? The path of Timirdut. Secondly, Timirdut come. He will be born in the Ahir caste and will be called servant. He will steal many of your scriptures and will maintain his path separately. Again, nothing much is explained about that path except possibly when the poem was published, these were much more recognizable as individual instances than they are now. In many cases, they may have been swallowed up in history. The names of the Dutes are not the human names of the people in any case. They are, we might say, the astral names of them. They are the names of their messenger function. But Mrityu Anda's human name was Narayan, and so we can't match these up with any individuals known to us. But again, possibly the fact that the master is calling himself servant, the so-called master is calling himself servant. Of course, many masters have called themselves servant who are very genuine. So again, it's not a question of an untruth, but it may be that that's the only thing that he has in common with them. And he has seized that, and using the books will then go ahead and draw any conclusions he wants. And if people are fooled by the fact that he is so very humble and calls himself servant and they don't look any further, then it's too bad. The path of Anda Achet Dut. Now I tell you of the third path and the Anda Achet Dut. He will come to you as your barber, and his name will be Surat Gopal. There his human name is given. Keeping the souls in the illusion created by the combination of words, he will establish his separate path. In other words, he will be very articulate and very convincing. And coming as a barber means, at least I think one possible explanation of why that is mentioned, is that many of the masters at this time were low-caste people. Sena was a master who was a barber. A barber, of course, is a low-caste. So that the fact that someone comes in a low-caste in the name of Kabir or some past master and is very convincing and articulate does not in itself mean much of anything. That may be all that he has in common with the real masters. The path of Manbhag Dut. Listen, Dharamdas, about the fourth path, which will be maintained by Manbhag Dut. You will establish the path taking the story of creation. You will come into the world saying that his path is the original path. He will explain to the souls about the name Lodi, and he will call that name the Philosopher's Stone. He will speak of the Simran of the sound created by bamboo, and in this way he will keep all the souls here. This almost certainly refers to a specific teaching which was in existence at the time, which apparently did definitely relate to originate from Sant Nath at one time. Another thing is that, of course, in this day and age, where things are so eclectic, where synthesis, something like that, are everywhere, everyone is, I can't think of the right word, begins with S-Y-N, everyone is doing it, bringing things together, synthesizing, or whatever. This sort of thing is perhaps even more. All of these archetypes of ways in which the teachings of the master can be distorted exist around us, only, of course, they take very different forms. But the essence is there, and one of the values of this may be that by studying this, if we then run into some group or person who is emphasizing in just this way, that we may realize where it came from. The path of Gyan Bhangi Dut. O Dharam Das, listen about the fifth path, which the Gyan Bhangi Dut will start. That path is the path of the gods and the imperfect sadhus. By making the soul recognize the signs of tongue, eyes, and forehead, by explaining about the scar and the mole, he will keep the souls in deception. Couplet. This, of course, refers to the signs of the masters. And again, the masters have those signs. The eyes and forehead of the master are important. They are similar, and there is a definite connection from one master to another in that way. Masters do have, usually, moles and so forth. They have physical signs. If we assume, again, that this is the most important thing, and we allow that to determine the rest of it, then we are forgetting the whole point. It's like so much has sometimes been made over the lotus mark on the foot, which masters do have. But if this was the foolproof way of recognizing the master, then why on earth would anything else be necessary except for the master to sit there and show everybody his foot? And then we would know, okay, he's the master. There'd be no problem. There'd be no need to do anything further, really. And yet, down through history, that has never worked like that. That's not the purpose of these things. But if we take them as that, then we are distorting, actually making a mockery out of the whole path, which includes, has many, many facets, all of which fit very perfectly into each other. Couplet. Whatever work one would like to do, you will keep him in that work. Again, this is a perversion of something that the masters do too. But if it's made all in all, if he says, well, your way of salvation is only to be this, you don't need to meditate or anything, but if you just do whatever work, whatever you feel like doing, that's a good thing. In that way, he will tie up all men and women and will spread in all 10 directions. That is, of course, a very popular idea. The path of Man Makaram Dut. The name of the sixth path will be Kamali Path, and it will start when the Man Makaram Dut will come in the world. He will reside among the dead bodies, and becoming my son, he will falsely brighten the path. He will show the shimmering light to the jivas, and in this way he will delude many souls. As long as the soul will have that sight, he will see that shimmering light. Those who do not see with both their eyes, how can they test the shimmering beauty? Understand the shimmering beauty of Kaal, and don't take it as truth in your heart. Earlier in the poem also, there is a reference to light that can be shown by Kaal. And this can be very disturbing. You know, we have saturated ourselves with the writings, of especially of Kripal Singh, who laid so much emphasis on the showing of light to the individual as a sign of a true master. And it is. The thing is that the light that Kaal can show what he has access to, and when he shows it, it won't lead any further. It doesn't mean that it's not true light, though. Kaal is also part of the Creator, and the Shabad current coming down through the causal, astral, and physical planes is real wherever it is, no matter who shows it to us, it may be real. Doesn't mean that if someone who is less than competent shows it to us, that we can go any further than that. We can be caught up in that and remain there forever. That is why we have to see with both our eyes. In other words, this is one thing to consider, but it is not the only thing. Protection, the way the master lives, the way he spends his life, all of those things also are important. And we cannot, you know, close our other eye to that. We have to see with both our eyes and test that shimmering beauty. Of course, the light that the true master deals with will not remain, you know, in this form for very long if we are doing what we ought to be doing and where we ought to be. The path of Chitban Dut. The seventh messenger is Chitban. He will have different faces, voices, and minds. He will run the path in the name of Don, and I don't know what that name means, but it apparently had some significance at the time that the book was written. And he will falsely call the one who speaks this word as Satpurush. He will talk about the five elements and the three gunas, both of which are part of the truth, and in this way he will maintain the path. Speaking the words, he himself will become Brahma, and will say, why did Rama make Vasishtha his master? Krishna also did service to the master, to say nothing of the rishis and munis. Narada blamed his master. That is why he suffered living in hell. None of which is false, by the way. All of this is true thing. There's nothing wrong with it at all. It's a perfectly normal thing, and you can find things in the writings of Kripal Singh and Sawan Singh which these very words are even presented in a very straight way. Apparently, however, this is the extent of his understanding of what the masters are and why we should follow them. And his talk about the five elements and the three gunas is, in other words, is a way of saying, well, I understand this world very well. It's made up of five elements, three gunas, and so forth, and this is all we need to know in order to be on top of it. The Dut will impose the knowledge of Bijak, which may mean the book written by Kabir. Another large book written by Kabir is called the Bijak, which means literally account book. And it's like a spiritual ledger. That's the idea of it. It's actually full of very beautiful lyric poetry. It's not an epic poem like this one. But presumably this is being done in the name of Kabir, and it is Kabir's own book that this particular messenger is using. As the insect remains in the gular tree, nobody will be benefited by this path. By walking upon it, the soul will weep. The path of Akal Bangdut. Now I'll tell you about the eighth path, and will explain to you about the Akal Bangdut. He will steal something from the Quran and something from the Vedas, and will say, this is the path which leads to the real home. He will also take some qualities from me, and then he will make a book. He will establish the path, giving the knowledge of Brahm, that is, of course, Kaal, and the souls who are involved in rites and rituals will be attracted to him. And this again is a like an archetypal kind of thing that people do. Taking something from here, something from there, but assuming that we have got the essence of it, and then giving it out to others. I have known a number of people in my own life who have done exactly this. The path of Bishambhadut. O Dharamdas, listen to the story of the ninth path. Of Bishambhadut will perform the play. The name of the path will be Ram Kabir Path, in which good and bad qualities will be counted alike. He will say this, understand sins and virtues as equal. And of course, again, there is a level and an element of the path in which this also is understood, is true. It is not true on our level, and when someone says this, of course, it's very appealing to some people, because it means we don't have to make any effort to be better than we are. But it's a terrible trap if it's understood in that way, as long as we're living in a dualistic plane. The path of Naktanandut. Now I am telling you about the tenth path. The name of the dut is Naktanan. You will run the path, calling it the Satnami path, in which you will unite all the souls of the four different castes. You will unite Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, about which, of course, there is nothing wrong. Kabir also was interested in uniting the souls of the four different castes, and being an outcast himself, he was obviously totally free from caste feelings of caste superiority. This is the main thing that this path will do, and therefore it will serve as a deception because it stands in the way of doing things which perhaps are more essential. O brother, he will not recognize the Shabda of Satguru, and following him the souls will go into hell. He will explain and describe the body, and will never get the path of Satpurush. Him. Listen, Dharamdas, to the play of Kaal. He will create many traps. He will devour many souls, involving them in the chains of karma. The soul who will recognize my Shabda will become free from the snare of Yama. Accepting the Nam and by its glory, he will go to the immovable plane, which is the region of peace. Couplet. The nectar-filled Simran, which has precious qualities, is the essence of Satpurusha's Shabda. If the soul accepts it in thought, word, and deed, he crosses the ocean of life. The path of Durgdani Dut. I am telling you about the 11th path, which is of Durgdani, who is a boundless messenger. He will establish his path as the path of souls, and he will explain it by the body. He will tell the souls to perform things with their body, and deluded by him, the souls will not cross. The soul who is proud, hearing his knowledge, will love him. And this is a very profound description of something which is always with us. Both using the body to perform rituals with, I think it refers to that, and also to the path, the tantric type, left-hand tantric type paths in which various things are done with the body, sexual activity and so forth are done to prove to the soul that he is above such things and to work in a negative kind of way. And the theory is that you can rise above them by indulging. And the soul who is proud, teachers of this path are usually extremely convincing and very learned, and they've always been present, and you can find references to them in the writings of many masters. And the soul who is proud, hearing his knowledge, will love him, because this is really the true thing, because it's above this simplistic stuff, loving the master, especially if the master is, you know, a jilaha, a nothing. This guy is, he knows, and he will love him. And it seems so much more intellectually satisfying and also in the spirit of the times, many times, depending on, of course, what the spirit of the time may be. The path of Hans Muni Dut. Now I will tell you of the manifestation of the 12th path, in which Hans Muni Dut created this play. First, he will come as a servant in your home, and he will serve you a lot. In other words, he will start out as your disciple, and maybe even a very close one. Later, he will start his own path and will trap many souls. And those who know the life of Kripal Singh and many other masters too will not have much trouble in seeing parallels to this. He will oppose the essence of the incarnations. He will believe in some knowledge and in some he will not. He will very definitely, and this is a historical fact, he will very definitely modify the teachings to suit what he thinks the people wants to hear. For example, he may start charging money because, well, for various reasons. And if maintaining a strict vegetarian diet is difficult in the West, well, why bother with it? Things of that sort. He will believe in some knowledge and in some he will not. In this way, Yama will set up the play, and from his essence he will create 12 paths. Again and again they will come, and again they will go, and again they will appear in the world. Wherever the messengers of Yama come, they will tell a lot of knowledge to the soul. In other words, they will not always lie. Every single thing, almost, that was explained here about the way these paths work is not false. It's all based on truth. And you can find, gee, he's saying the same thing as so-and-so, so it must be true. Like that. They are not so stupid as to lie, I would say. They found themselves strictly on truth, but they only take a little bit of the truth, and in that way, distort it and mislead. They call themselves by the name Kabir. It doesn't mean, of course, that they always call themselves by the name Kabir, but the principle of establishing or distorting the teaching of some previous master in his name is a very well-established principle. And they will always give the knowledge of the body to those whom they initiate. Wherever they take birth in the world, they will come forward and spread the path. They will show miracles to the souls, and deluding them, they will bring them into hell. Him. Listen, Bharam Das. In this way, the mighty Kaal will come and deceive. Those who will accept the light of my words, I will save them. O my essence, awaken the souls by giving them the true Shabda. By keeping the knowledge of Master firm in the heart, one will test the Shabda and recognize Yama. Couplet. O Dharam Das, awaken. Yamraj deceives like this. Those who will take the Naam with faith, Yama will not get them. Dharam Das said, O Lord, you are the origin of all the souls. May you finish all my pain. Narayan is my son. Now I have thrown him out. The essence of Kaal took birth in my home and became painful for the souls. Hail to the Satguru, who have shown and made me recognize the essence of Kaal. I have given up my son Narayan, and I have believed in your words. And that is where we will leave it for this week. That is longer than I had planned to read, but it seemed important to finish the section rather than to leave it halfway through. It's an important section and a difficult one sometimes to understand. It took me several readings. My first readings, I felt that nothing was really being said about these 12 paths. Then I realized that that wasn't true at all. It was just a very economical and concise description of the ways in which the truth can be distorted. And as it says, they come again and again. They come, they go, they come again. And always these things are there. I think whenever we dwell on these ways in which we can be deceived, you know, it's a very bad thing to be afraid. And the initiate of the master, or the one who is, you know, who is seeking the truth, who is searching for truth out of love, does not have to be afraid, because his love that has carried him through is his connection with God, and that will always prevail. It is only when we forget what it is that we are really after, whether we are initiated or whether we are on our way to initiation, that these things can get in our way. Baba Saman Singh used to say that humility is the armor of the saints and their devotees. If we remain in a humble, loving connection with the universe, and I'm not just speaking of initiates now, although initiates are simran, they have the understanding of who the master is, this the principle of humility and loving relation to God remains true, because we are not talking about errors that people can make by mistake. We are talking about essential wrongnesses with their relation to the universe, which of itself allows them to be deceived. If a person's heart is in the right place, and he has come to the point where he really is after the highest thing, what can stand in his way? And that is why Kabir says that those who want to be awake, I awaken them. There is no doubt about it. These things are there for our understanding and for our knowledge, you know, so that we can understand what's happening, put things into place, recognize these are eternal principles. Sometimes I have been very dismayed by seeing, you know, this or that person turn up whom I knew had some connection with one master or another at one time. And, you know, in taking what I knew as the truth, and I've seen this happen at least twice just in the last few years, taking what definitely was originally the true teaching, distorting them in such a way that if you didn't have both eyes open, it makes the whole path look bad. And it's very hard on me to observe this happening. But it's an eternal principle. It happens over and over again. It's part of Maya. Everything can be betrayed. This is why Christ went onto the cross. And betrayal is the fact of life in these lower planes. As long as we are in the lower planes, even if we are a master, we are subject to that. But internally, we are not. So these things are important too. We'll continue our reading from Kabir Sahib's epic poem, the Anurag Saga. Today we will conclude the particular section that we are reading on the Kabir's adventures in the Kali Yuga, or the present incarnation, the present age. We remember the last thing that happened when we last read was that the action of the poem was taking place in the present. In other words, it was not being narrated by Kabir to Dharamdas, but was actually happening in the present moment. Dharamdas and Kabir were the principal actors at the present time. And we discovered that Dharamdas's son, Narayan Das, turned out to be not very positive in his attitude toward Kabir. And it turned out that he was, in fact, an agent or even perhaps an incarnation of the negative power who had been born in Dharamdas's home. Dharamdas had to learn to not consider him as his son and to not give him any particular honor. Then Dharamdas and the rest of his family were all initiated at that time. Also, of course, we know that Dharamdas was revealed that his true essence, his true identity, was that of Sukrit, who had been a saint sent to the world by Satpurush from Satchkhan and trapped by Kal. Both that and the incident with Narayan Das will figure in the reading today also, which is why I bring them up. In that particular incident and throughout, Dharamdas is not only one particular historical person, a disciple of Kabir who did become a saint, and in fact his Gurumukh successor, but in addition is standing for all of humanity. And just as he came from Satchkhand and was trapped, so have we all. This section is called Dharamdas Sahib has the darshan of the Natam essence. The word Natam, N-O-T-M, is one of those words that is untranslatable, but it means something like the essence of essences. In other words, it almost reads like essence, essence. And we will see how that figures. Dharamdas said, bowing his head, he made this request, O Lord, happiness giver to all the souls, tell me, in which way will the souls cross the ocean of life? Tell me, O beautiful husband of the souls, how will the path be maintained, and how will the souls go to Satlok? I have thrown out Narayan Das, who is my son, knowing that he is Kal. Now, O Lord, show me that path by which the souls may go to Satlok. How will my lineage continue? In other words, his son is useless from the point of view of the highest truth, so in what way will his lineage continue? And how will they follow your path? That's why, O Lord, I am making a request to you to tell me how the path will continue. Kabir said, Listen, Dharamdas, to the teaching of Shabda. I am giving you this message, understanding you as my own. The soul Natam is the essence of Satpurush which will manifest in your home. The word will incarnate into the world and will be called by the name Chudamani. A Chudamani figures in many ways and on many levels in this section of the poem. A lot will be explained about this as we go along. But he is destined to be the next master after Dharamdas. In other words, three generations of sainthood are being set up here. The essence of Satpurush in the Natam incarnations will cut the snares of Kal and remove the doubts of the souls. Him. In the Kali Yuga, the soul will become free from Kal by the glory of Nam. Those who firmly accept the true Nam within themselves will become free from the traps laid by Yama. Yama will not come near those who have faith in the incarnations. Such souls go across the ocean of life after putting their feet on Kal's head. Couplet. O Dharamdas, take this into your heart. I will liberate those souls who will become firm in the words of the incarnations. The incarnations here, and I'll explain a little later, the derivation of the word, refers to the forthcoming masters. The line, in other words, that Kabir is establishing for this part of the cycle of the world, the Kali Yuga. Dharamdas said, O Lord, folding both my hands, I make this request. But saying this, my soul is trembling. The word will be incarnated as the essence of Satpurush, but the doubt of my mind will go if I have his darshan. In other words, Dharamdas is once again demanding to see the reality of which the master is telling him in a very bold and almost irreverent way. Again, he's standing for all of us. And this is, I think, precisely what our attitude is like from the master's point of view. Anyway, the master doesn't love him any the less because of it. O Lord, accept this request of mine. O Lord, shower this mercy on me. Then I will know the truth and will be convinced of your words. Hearing this, the Lord spoke these words. O Muktamuni, my essence. This is not being addressed to Dharamdas. It is being addressed to what Kabir is calling his essence, Muktamuni, which means something like Master of Liberation. Becoming dependent on me, Sukrit, which you remember was Dharamdas's unfallen name, the name that he had in Satchkhand, has asked for your darshan, so you come and give your darshan. Then for one moment, Muktamuni came, and Dharamdas had his darshan. Now these few lines, of course, sum up what must have been a transcendent visual and in every way experience, in which the essence of God was shown to Dharamdas, which he had not seen on this level since he had left Satchkhand. Muktamuni is here as a personal name given to the what is previously referred to as the Natam. Dharamdas fell at the feet and touched them. Now you have fulfilled the desire of my heart. Again and again he put his heart at the feet. O noble Satpurush, you have made me have the darshan. Having the darshan, my heart is happy like the moon bird getting the moon. Now, O Lord Gyani, shower such grace so that the incarnations of the word may manifest into the world. I am making this request to you, O Lord, so that the path may continue. The manifestation of Chudamani. And this is a very interesting and very significant section. Kabir said, Listen, Dharamdas, after 10 months, Chudamani's soul will manifest. He will be born in your home, and for the sake of the souls, he will take up the body. Dharamdas, listen to these words of wisdom I am telling you. Understanding you is my own. You have got the store of things which I have given you. Now the one who will become your son is my essence. Then Dharamdas made this request. O Lord, explain this to me, O Satpurush. I have controlled the organs of senses. How will your essence take birth in the world? Dharamdas, in other words, is saying that he has become chaste and plans to remain so. So how is this going to happen? Then the Lord spoke these words, giving the orders to have the relation through the attention only. O Dharamdas, I am writing the Paras Nam, by which the essence will take birth. Understand the signs which I am explaining to you. Dharamdas, listen to this attentively. On the betel leaf, write the sign of Satpurush and give that to Amin, who is Dharamdas's wife. Then, it says, the doubt of Dharamdas went away, and the subject became clear to him. Dharamdas called Amin and made her fall at the feet of the beloved Lord. On the betel leaf, he wrote the Paras Nam, the name of the God beyond, I assume, and gave it to her, by which she conceived the child. Chudamani resided in that pregnancy which came about through the attention. Dharamdas ordered Amin, and then she came and saluted him. When the pregnancy of 10 months means lunar months, that's why in India you often hear that pregnancy is of 10 months duration, just because they count by the moon. The essence, Chudamani, was born. This happened on the 7th day of the moonlit half of Agahan. When Muktayan, the liberation giver, was manifested, Dharamdas gave away all his wealth. fortunate am I that you have come into my home. And then Dharam Das bowed at his feet. In other words, Chudamani was born the equivalent of a virgin birth, which has got several significances. One, it should make it very clear that such things can indeed happen. We know, obviously, in the Western world, the story of Jesus is paramount. The Buddha also, of him it is said that he was born only to the mother. That is, that he was not fertilized by his father. Here again, the story is given. Another significance, and this is perhaps the main point of the episode, Narayan Das, you recall, was Dharam Das's Bindi son. The point of this was made at the time that this story was told. He betrayed him. He was the son of his seed. Bindi means seed. Later on in the poem, as I said when we read that part, there is a big section given on the Nad and the Bind. Nad means Sankarat, and Bind means seed. When it's used in humans, it means male semen. And in the Indian tradition, the difference between the Nadi son and the Bindi son is often, a lot is made of that. The Nadi son, the son of the Sankaran, is the Gurumukh, or disciple successor, not necessarily, in fact not usually, physically born to the master. The Bindi son is the physical son of the master born in the usual way. Here, Chudamani is, to all intents and purposes, outwardly, a son of Dharam Das. He is born into his home, he is brought up by him, but he is serving as a symbol, or a type, we might say, of the Nadi son, because in the sense, if you read any master writing about his relationship with his master, will refer to himself in the terms of a young baby born into his home who has been brought up by him. This is a universal image that all masters have used. Sanchi has used it many times, referring to Kripal Singh. So that even though Chudamani is born into the household and is brought up by Dharam Das, he is not his Bindi son. He is a Nadi son only, the son of his attention, not of his physical body. And this is one of the perhaps most relevant messages of the Anurag Saga, because as we know, the history of the path of the masters since Kabir established the guruship in its present form, in its present manifestations, there has been one series after another, a struggle between the Bindi sons and the Nadi sons. That is to say, the struggle has all been on one side. I do not mean to imply that the Nadi sons have ever fought for anything. The difficulties have been put in their way by the Bindi sons, who have over and over again claimed the guruship on the basis, the underlying assumption is that their physical relationship with the master made them special. And this is a recurring and continuing phenomenon which will probably continue forever. So this is a very important message that Kabir is giving as a sign for the people coming after. When Kabir came to know that Muktayan, these are various names given to Chudamani, they all are very honorific. Mukta is liberation. And Chudamani is, of course, Mani is jewel. I forget some of the term, I forget Chuda. At once he came to Dharam Das's house and said, "For the liberation, the imperishable Muktayan has come, and for the sake of the souls, he has taken up the body." Yan is path. Originally, I'm not sure if it still means that in the dialect in which this poem was written. In Sanskrit, it is path. Muktayan would mean the path of liberation in the Sanskrit language. Now the undecaying sign which will liberate the souls from Yama has manifested. By the coming of Muktamuni, the souls will become free. And the final section of this section, the final subsection of this section, the establishment of the kingdom of 42 incarnations. After some days passed, the Lord said these words. Some days, I assume, means quite a few, because this is what is going to be described now as Chudamani's initiation, which could have taken place when he was very young. As we know, Swamiji Maharaj was initiated at the age of 6. So some days might not mean a lot of days, but it means more than 2 or 3. O Dharam Das, bring what is needed. I will perform the choka. I will establish the kingdom of 42 incarnations that the work of the souls may be accomplished. Then Dharamdas brought what was needed and placed it before Gyani. Gyani, remember, is another term for Kabir. It means knower, is the equivalent of the Greek word Gnostic. Dharamdas said, "O Gyani, if you want anything else, then tell me." The Lord prepared the choka as before, and whatever he wanted, he asked for. The rectangular slab was decorated in many ways, and there Chudamani was made to sit. Kabir said, and he is speaking to Chudamani, "You have come into the world by the orders of Satpurush, and using his means you have to liberate the souls. I give you the kingdom of 42 incarnations, and by you the souls will get their work done." Now, the word incarnation is not the word avatar, which is what is usually translated as incarnation. It does not refer in any way to the avatarship of the incarnations of Kal, which is what the term avatar refers to. And sometimes in English books on Santmat, the term avatar is translated as incarnation as a matter of course. This is a very literal translation of a word which could also be translated as descendant or lineage. Okay, it means becoming flesh, in other words, and it refers to the word becoming flesh, the incarnation in the very Christian sense here. Kabir gives the teachings to Chudamuni. "From you will come the 42 incarnations who will liberate the souls. From them 60 branches will come out, and from those more will sprout. You will have 10,000 little branches, and they all will continue along with the incarnations. One who will use force to form the relation I will not send to Satlok. As you have become the helmsman, your branch will also become like that." This is a significant passage. It refers obviously to the branching out, very literally to the branching out of Satmat in the Kali Yuga. Up to this time, it has still been an underground, pretty secret kind of thing, existing in all religions but not in any way known to people who are not initiated, even theoretically. Times are changing, and Kabir is announcing this. Now, it is true that the path, the lineage that we are aware of, does not appear to physically or literally be in the line of Chudamuni, but there is an element in this poem which is not necessarily taken literally on every level. He is referring in a general way to this branching out, and it covers the Sikh gurus and the ones that we know also. And interesting that one who will use force to form the relation, I will not send to Satlok. Force can mean, in addition to physical, can mean psychical also. And the true masters have always been very loath to browbeat or to put any kind of psychic force on people to become their disciples. In fact, there are solemn warnings against it, which I have heard personally in such a way as it scared me very much. So this is an important line too. Hymn. "Listen, O essence of Satpurush, you are from the high lineage." Actually, that word translated lineage there is the same word as translated as incarnation elsewhere, and not of anyone else. "You are the Nadam essence of Satpurush who has manifested in this ocean of the world. Seeing the souls in a bad condition, Satpurush has sent you. Any soul who will understand you as the essence of someone else will be devoured by Yama." Couplet. "The connoisseur of knowledge will recognize the incarnations as the form of Satpurush. He who gets the sign of the incarnations will become the Hansa," that is to say, the swan or the liberated soul. Kabir said to Dharamdas. The Satguru said, "Listen, Dharamdas, now I am giving you the storehouse. Oh, brother, now I am explaining to you all that I gave you before. When Chudamani becomes perfect and Kal sees this, he will be shattered." Hearing this, Dharamdas got up and called Chudamani near him. Right then he was given Nam, and in that no delay occurred. Observe that although Chudamani is born a very pure soul, is born from above directly from the Natam essence, and born, I can't say of a virgin because Amun has had numbers of children already, but born in a virginal way, for all that he still has to be initiated, he still has to be given Nam by the living master. When both of them touched the feet of the master, Kal started trembling with fear. In his mind, the Satguru became pleased, and looking at Chudamani, he was very happy. Then he told Dharam Das, "Listen, Sukrit," and he is addressing him now for a reason by his unfallen name, his name, his spiritual name from Sach Khand. "You are a very fortunate one. Your lineage has become the liberator of the world and will make the souls cross the ocean of the world." In other words, as Sukrit, Chudamani is his lineage, his incarnation, even though he is not, as Dharam Das, his physical son. Instead of Narayan Das, who betrayed him, he has gotten something much better. There will be 42 incarnations, and the first one to manifest will be my essence. He will be the word incarnate. Those who come after him will come into the world from Bind. In other words, it will not happen that Chudamani's way of birth will happen every time. In fact, probably not again, ever. So we cannot say, well, if the master wasn't born virginally, then he's not a master. It doesn't work like that. But sometimes it does happen. The greatness of the incarnations. The souls who get the passport from these incarnations will go to Satlok, becoming fearless. Yama will not block their way, and the 88 crore prisons will feel the loss. No matter if someone tells them of any other knowledge, he will repeat the Nam of Kabir day and night. No matter if one speaks constantly of other knowledge without the knowledge of the incarnations, all is false. Go and ask the one who knows about the taste of food. No matter if one prepares the food in many ways, it will remain bland without salt. Understand food as knowledge, and the sign of the incarnations as its taste. And this is a magnificent image of how we are to relate to that which is around us in the world. You know, that which is around us in the world is food, and is for our use. But until we salt it with that which the Master has given us, it's bland, it's not tasty. We cannot get from it that which we can otherwise get. So it's not that everything knowledge of the world has to be rejected, but that we have to be certain that it's salted with the Master's teaching and what he gives us. There are 14 crores of knowledge. Crore means an awful lot. I think maybe a couple of million. I'm not sure. I forget the... It's more than lakhs. Lakhs is 100,000 and crores is more than that. But the essential Shabda is different from them. In the sky, 9 lakhs of stars appear, and looking at them, everyone becomes happy. But when the sun comes out in the day, it hides the light of the stars. The knowledge is like the 9 lakh stars, and the essential Shabda is like the sun. Lakhs of knowledge explain things to the souls, whereas the sign of the incarnations takes the souls home. Listen to one more example of how the ship crosses the sea. Shabda is the ship, and your incarnation is the one who takes them across. Him. O Dharam Das, I have described to you the origin of Satpurush. Those who take any other path than that of the incarnations will go to the region of Yama. The soul who, day and night, will sing the Shabda without getting the sign of the incarnations, in other words, without being initiated. Sign here refers to that which is conveyed at initiation, will be caught in Kal's trap. Do not blame me afterwards. Couplet. Those who recognize the Shabda, giving up the qualities of the crow, will become the Hansas. Kal will not get those who accept the essential Shabda firmly. And that is the end of this section on the coming of Kabir. Next week we will begin the fourth and not final, because there is also a fifth section or conclusion, the last major section of the poem called The Story of the Future, in which Kabir prophesies quite a bit. And in addition to the 12 paths mentioned last time that we read, he goes into much greater detail on 4 additional paths which he did not reveal at that time, which in many ways include the other 12. Many of the things that he says, the idea of the coming incarnations or the lineage of the true masters, is developed quite a bit in the final section, along with the long section on the Nad and the Bind.